Let's pray. Father, as we come to open your word now, I ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would bring us understanding. But not just understanding, that you would bring it in such a way as our lives are truly transformed by your presence in us. As we continue to give you our worship, we praise you, we worship you. And I pray, come Holy Spirit, we cannot be changed on our own. We cannot understand on our own. So give us ears to hear and come and speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, you all know this as well as I do, that we live in a world today where we're inundated by voices, all kinds of voices, and they're loud voices. And these voices all are vying for the affections of our heart. And what you and I need to see now, what we need to hear is this: the Lord still speaks today. Sometimes I think followers of Jesus walk around in this life and we act like God is silent. But he's not. And I think part of the problem is we're listening to all these other voices and we're giving ourselves over to them. And the one voice that matters the most, the one and only authoritative voice for you and me that brings life, we often do not hear. This morning we're going to look, as we've been looking at the Holy Spirit the past few weeks, looking at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, we're going to begin to look at the work of the Holy Spirit illuminating us, our minds and our hearts, to the voice of the Lord, that the Lord speaks today. You see, we've already seen that in creation, God is not a distant God. He's not a silent God. For he spoke creation into existence with his very breath, the breath of the Spirit. And then we saw a few weeks ago that God was intimately involved, not just in creation, but everything that took place. God is intimately involved in everything that you and I go through. He always has, he always will be. God has always spoken, and he will always speak to us, his people. The Lord speaks. And what we find in the scriptures is this. We know the story of Adam and Eve walking in the garden with the Lord, right? And they would walk, as it says, in the cool of the day. They walked with the Lord. Well, God wasn't silent with them. God spoke. And there was this intimate relationship that they had with him. And you know the story that when they sinned and they disobeyed God, God took them out of the garden and the gates were shut. They could not go back in. You ever wonder where God went? He didn't stay in the garden. This is who our God is. He went with them into the rest of this world. God is a God who is with us. Not only did God go with them, he continued to speak to his people. And we know through the scriptures that God spoke to Abraham, God spoke to Moses, God spoke to Joshua and to David. God spoke to the prophets, and he spoke through the prophets, that the words that they spoke were the very words of God as God was communicating his desires for his people. And then we also find that God spoke to the authors of scripture that we have today, that is the very word of God in which he speaks most powerfully to you and me today. Are you beginning to get a picture? Our God is not a silent God. He's not a God who closes things off. He's a God who openly speaks. He longs to make himself known, and he longs that you and I would hear from him. You see, what we find in Scripture is this. It's the Holy Spirit who is the ultimate source of revelation for us. It's one of the gifts, it's one of the works of the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit takes the very thoughts of God and he brings them to us so that we can actually understand what this glorious book has to say for you and me. Now listen, there's a question that's been asked for centuries, and it's a question that's still around today that many people are still asking, and it's this. Does God exclusively speak through Scripture, or does he speak today as he did in the Old Testament through prophets, dreams, and visions, and what we also find in the New Testament church in the same way? Does God speak in those ways as well? What I believe Scripture shows us is this. It shows us that the primary way that God speaks to his people is through Scripture, but it's not the only way. You see, as we look at the passages of God's Word, we find in the Old Testament how God would come at various times in various places through the power of the Holy Spirit, would come upon different people and give them a prophetic word or give them a dream and a vision that he would reveal himself to them. Now, when I read the pages of the New Testament and I understand that we are the ones given the Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us, I can't help but think, why would God still not speak in those very same ways to you and me today? And when he does, it's always in accordance with Scripture. Now, we're going to look at that in greater detail in the weeks ahead, but I wanted to bring that up this morning as we begin to look at how God speaks through his Word. Now, I recognize this, that this may be touchy for some of you in this room. For evangelicals in the country today and for a long time have found disagreement in this area. And maybe there's some here at St. Andrews, and I would gather there probably are some, who would say, no, when I read Scripture, Scripture speaks, and that's the only way that God speaks to us through his Word, period. And there are going to be others in this room who would say, no, I believe God speaks through his Scripture primarily. But I also believe that what we find in the New Testament is God still speaks to his children through prophetic words, through dreams, and through visions. And we're going to look more closely at that. We're not going to get into that this morning, but in ahead we're going to unpack passages like what we find in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Many of you may be familiar with them. We read this. And it shall come to pass, now this is a prophetic word, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And we know in Acts chapter 2 that came to fulfillment at the day of Pentecost. God speaks to his people. We also see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, and to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. Now, again, we're not going to unpack all that this morning. We can't. We are in the weeks ahead because I want Scripture to speak so clear to us so that we can come to understand how the Lord speaks to his church today. At the end of the day, here's what you and I need to understand. Regardless of where you are on that spectrum, what I want you to hear is God speaks. And I think some of you really need to hear that this morning and what you're going through. You know, I received two phone calls this past week with folks who had themselves received a phone call that changed their lives. One was a young man who got a call and he was just let go from his job. The other was someone whose husband is in the last stages of cancer. And she received the call of maybe it's time to go into hospice care. I don't know if you've ever gotten a phone call like that. If you haven't, there will come a time when you likely will. It might not be one of those two, but it will be something that will rock your world. And both of these people are strong believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they called me in tears. Everything was a blur. They were thinking, God, are you here? How am I going to make it through? What am I going to do next, right? All those things that you could imagine go through our minds in a moment like that. What they needed to hear was that God speaks. God is not silent, even in the whirlwind, friends. Even when life is a blur, when you can't even think straight, God speaks. He longs to make himself known. This morning, what we're going to look at is the primary way in which the Lord speaks to his church today, and that's through his word. Listen to what we find in 2 Timothy 3:16. We read that all scripture is breathed out by God. Other translations may say all scripture is inspired by God. That word inspired means to breathe into. What we find in the pages of Scripture is that God, through the Holy Spirit, through the person of the Holy Spirit, breathed his words into the authors of Scripture. And what theologians have used for years, this term, organic inspiration, it describes the natural writing process of Scripture. It was the Holy Spirit who breathed words of truth into these men and women who wrote the Scriptures, and as they wrote, God used their own personalities. God used their own life experiences, their education, their abilities to understand literary genres, their own historical situations of where they were. God used all of that to bring his Scripture to you and me. And what we find is God, through that process, revealed all that he longed that we know of him. Now, I want you to think of this picture of God breathing life, the Spirit breathing into the authors of Scripture. And here's what we find. Can you remember another time when God breathed and something happened? Genesis chapter 1, the beginning of creation. God spoke, he breathed, and what happened? Life came. What I want you to see here is this. When God breathes, when the Spirit breathes, life comes to you and me. And so what we find in his word in this book is this. It is life to you and me. Have you ever thought about that? It's life. If it's life, guess what? I don't think that we would put it on a shelf and let it stay there and get dusty, would we? If we really believed that what is in these pages is God breathed life for you and me, not just bringing spiritual life to us, but giving us wisdom and understanding on how to live our lives, right? God doesn't want to keep us in the dark on that. But what we find in his word is hope and peace and joy. And what we find in here is that as we follow it, we begin to see that our lives begin to turn out, we begin to flourish in the ways that God intended for his children to flourish. We will never flourish, we will never live as we were intended if this book sits on a shelf and collects dust. When I think about this, I think of Psalm 119. I love Psalm 119. I read it a lot because not only is it the longest psalm, but it's filled with the psalmist's passion. I mean, in most of the psalms, you see the passion of the psalmist, but in this one, I think we see it more than ever. So in Psalm 119, listen to what he writes. Oh, how I love your law! Exclamation point. Getting the passion of it across, right? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. And then we read these words, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Friends, oh, that we would be a people at St. Andrew's who come with the same passion for God's word as the psalmist. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your word. It is my meditation day and night. You notice that he didn't just say, it was my meditation for 4 minutes in the morning as I drank my coffee before I got into my car to go to work. Right? He didn't say that. Because that's what a lot of us do. Now, let's just be real, right? That's where a lot of us leave it. And we leave it over there, and we go on about our day, and reading it is really good, but guess what? When we give it just a few minutes in the morning and go on about our day, most of us don't think twice about what we read. That's not how the Lord longs for his children to live. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation day and night. If we really believe that this is God's inspired, breathed-out word of life for you and me, I don't think we'd leave it on the shelf. You see, it's hard for something that's left on the shelf to be life-giving, isn't it? It's hard for something to be left on the shelf and we find ourselves thriving in life. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you read a book? Any book. Can you think of it? When was the last time you read a book? You know, there was a recent Pew Research study that came out not long ago that said this: 1 in 4 of us, that it was more than a year ago that we've read a book. 1 in 4. And the study went on to say that in America, there is a literacy problem. And you would think, if that's true, yeah, I agree with that. If 1 in 4 only read a book in the last year, there would be a literacy problem in America. But I think the greater problem that you and I face today is a biblical literacy problem. Because I think for so many people, even in the church today, we're biblically illiterate. There's a Lifeway study that also came out recently that said only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. 45% who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. The study also said this: 1 in 5 churchgoers never reads their Bible. 1 in 5. It's no wonder, right? And we wonder why the church is not experiencing the life transformation that I believe the Lord Jesus Christ longs for us to experience. When I finished seminary, I had been out a couple of years, and I had a number of friends who were going after me. And I remember at Covenant Seminary, they put out this study. And what it showed was that most students today that are entering into seminaries are biblically illiterate. And so what they're doing is they have the students take a test to see how much they know of the facts of the Bible. And if you don't get a certain, maybe like 85 or 90% on it, guess what you have to do? The very first class you take your first semester is a walk through the Bible. You know, big picture, do you know your stuff? I think we in the church are no different. You see, listen, it's no wonder that so many followers of the Lord Jesus Christ today feel flat, feel empty, feel hopeless and anxious, overwhelmed and stressed with life. It's no wonder, because we're not going to the life-giving source, right? Let me give you some reasons why I think. I think for so many of us is that we're not giving ourselves fully to the Lord. There are so many other things that are taking priority in our lives today. And they're often really good things, but I think a lot of us don't know how to say no. And we're raising a generation of children who do not know how to say no because we let them participate in every activity. And I know parents who go 90 to nothing Monday through Saturday and they crash on Sunday because their kids are in a gazillion activities. We don't know how to say no. We don't know how to prioritize things in our lives, and so we give our things to the tyranny of the urgent. And what we find missing is the still moments of meditating upon the Lord through His Word. You see, I think we've also become a very self-sufficient people. We don't need God's Word, right? We've got everything at our fingertips. All of our electronics can get us what we want, and it's shipped within 1 or 2 days. And every place is doing it now. In fact, my mom told me there's an Amazon location north of Houston, and if she ordered something online by 9 o'clock in the morning, it would be at her house in the center of Houston by 3 o'clock that afternoon. We have everything we want at our fingertips, don't we? And we're satisfied. But are we really? I don't think so. And I think the reason why we really aren't is because we're not giving ourselves to the life-giving Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just give you one more. I mentioned we have instant access to virtually anything we want, right? But we also have instant access to things that will alleviate our stress, that will alleviate our pain, that will alleviate our sense of being overwhelmed. You can pop a few pills and in moments you're better. You can have a drink. You can take a puff of this. There's all kinds of things that we can do to alleviate the stress that we go through. And instead of running to the Lord and being still and waiting on the Lord, we're too impatient. And we run to something else that does not give us life. Friends, what I want you to hear this morning, what I long for us as a church at St. Andrew's, is that we would be a people who fall in love with the Word of God all over again. He longs to speak to you, you know. He longs for you to hear Him. And He longs to bring life to you. I want to read part of Ephesians chapter 1 that was read a moment ago, because what Paul writes here is so powerful for us in the church today, because he makes it so clear of the Lord longing to speak and to reveal Himself. Listen to this. So this is a prayer that Paul is praying, and he says this. He prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ... Now listen to how God is being displayed here. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Does that sound like a God who wants to keep you in the dark when you are in need? No. He gives us His Holy Spirit, who gives us understanding, who gives us wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of the greatness of our God. That's what He longs to do. But I fear is that we're not a people who cry out to the Holy Spirit to understand, right? But He longs to reveal Himself to us. And then He goes on and says this, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. I look around in the church today and I see a lot of people who are walking around hopeless. Walking around hopeless because they're not hearing the Lord speak. They're not hearing the Lord, they're not seeing Him reveal Himself. They have forgotten the incredible riches of His grace that are ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we're not going to remember what He did on the cross. And you know, we're still in the season of Easter. We're still celebrating the resurrection. But we forget, don't we? And we don't remember if we're not going back to this life-giving word of truth over and over. He longs to remind you, if you're hopeless this morning, of the hope that is yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if we could hear it, friends. There would be a renewed joy in the church. There would be a renewed understanding of what it looks like to love the least of these and to take the gospel to the lost. But then let me highlight one more thing, because this passage is so good. So he says, not only that we would have our hearts enlightened to know what is the hope to which He's called us, but that we would know what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. The riches of His glorious inheritance. Do you know that you have an inheritance that's in heaven for us? But do you know that it's not just there? That you and I in Christ Jesus begin to live in the inheritance now. It's like God saying, I've got this for you in glory. But you know what? I'm going to let you have a taste of it now. Do you know that? I think there are a lot of us that walk around. Now picture it this way. That there's a treasure chest in the middle of our living room. And the treasure chest is open. And there's incredible riches of God's grace in this treasure chest. But what we do is we wake up in the morning, we have our breakfast, we walk around that treasure chest, and we walk outside the door and go about our day. We come back in, we might give it a passing glance, and then we keep going. What God longs for us to do is to mine the riches of the treasure chest, to dive in, to live out of the fullness, friends, that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we could just do that. But we can by His Spirit, who reminds us of the love that He's lavished on us in Christ, that our sins have been forgiven as far as the east is from the west. What treasure is that? If we really were a people who believed it, if we really believed that our Father lavishes His love upon us, that He crowns us, as we read in Psalm 103, with a crown of steadfast love and mercy. Oh, if we could see that, we would live more out of the fullness of His Spirit. And friends, He shows this to us through His Word. And what the Holy Spirit does, now this is very important to hear, what the Holy Spirit does is He illumines God's Word so that you and I can understand it. Now, isn't that glorious? because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, this book would just be a book with a bunch of words on it. But what the Holy Spirit does is he illuminates our hearts and minds so that we can actually understand and live this out. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now listen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, do you see what he's saying here? That it's the Holy Spirit who knows the very mind of God because the Holy Spirit is God himself. And the Holy Spirit brings the mind of God, the thoughts of God, to you and me so that we can understand these incredible riches of our God in heaven. Do you see how glorious that is? That God longs to speak to you and me in profound ways today, that he would give us his Holy Spirit who knows the mind of God so that you and I could know the mind of God. And I love, friends, what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that it's the Holy Spirit who pours the love of God into our lives. Are you beginning to get a picture as we close this morning? I hope your heart is beginning to be set on fire this morning by a God who loves you more than you can ever imagine, by a God who is with you, by a God who longs to speak into your heart right where you are, right here, right now, this morning. And the Holy Spirit comes to reveal the heart of God to you and me. Friends, we have everything we need. May God in his grace set our hearts ablaze with his Holy Spirit so that we would be a people filled with the joy and the presence of the Lord, knowing that he speaks, hearing, and following. And again, as I say often, that the community around us would see the glory of our God who speaks today and who longs to speak to them. Father, come, continue to speak in our midst. Open our eyes to the beauty and glory of your truth, and may it, even this day, bring a new sense of life to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.